Let us pray first and we ask God's blessing on us this morning. Join me for a prayer. Father, your word says, "Thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity and whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place, and with him and her who has a humble and contrite spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones." Father, we pray that this morning your spirit will give us these kind of hearts and spirits, a disposition, Father, that is ready to receive your word and how we need your word. Father, your word is so powerful. When you speak things into existence, you raise the dead, and Father, you bring new hope and new life. Father, we pray that you will do that for us this morning. We pray that in the name that's above every other name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you think about the essence of the Christian life, if you had to sum it up, how would you sum it up? Children, have you ever thought about it? What is most important about how we are to live and conduct ourselves as God's children? Adults, if someone was to ask you, what's your core duty as a servant of God? What would be your answer? Now, the Bible gives us some handy summaries about how followers of Jesus should live their lives. Do you know some of these summaries? Two of them are these. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, we read this. And this is his, that's God's, commandment, that you should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, listen to this. Here is the perseverance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. But when we turn to the prophet Micah, he puts it in a slightly different way. The crux of how God wants us to live is this. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. As God's covenant people, as the people of God who are in the most intimate relationship, inseparable bond with God, we are to be people who do justice and mercy. Justice and mercy to those around us. That is that we are fair and that we show loving kindness to those around us, and that we show love and loyalty to God by walking humbly with him. These are the weightier matters of the law, as Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. This is Christian living in a nutshell. All of James is about it. Every section of James, as you go through the letter of James, will either talk about justice and mercy or talk about faith and faithfulness towards God. Now, we can jump and jive in our service. We can be pumped with knowledge and understanding. We could even prophesy in Jesus' name. We can cast out demons in his name and do wonders in his name. But if we do not show justice and mercy to one another, and that as an outflow of walking humbly with God, we are kidding ourselves. And so the question this morning is, are you walking humbly with your God? Am I walking humbly with my God? Now, to learn more about what it is to walk humbly with our God, please turn with me now to James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. Come now, you who say, Today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town, spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time, then and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him it is sin. James starts by calling our attention to a situation. Now, this is quite a common situation. In those days, people moved around, especially if you were a businessman with some ambition. If you were a merchant with an eye for an opportunity to make some money. It's also very common today. People make plans and they sign deals to gain wealth. Now, granted, we can't move around as we used to under the current situation. But that doesn't stop us from working remotely and online. Millions have become millionaires, and billionaires have been cashing in amidst the COVID crisis. The point is this: planning and scheming, making appointments and commitments are part of everyday life. Listen to these two scriptures. Proverbs 21 verse 5. The plans of the diligent surely lead to abundance. Isaiah 32 verse 8. But the noble man devises noble plans, and by noble plans he stands. Diligent and noble people plan. And get this, God is a planner par excellence. In Isaiah 25, verse 1, we read, O Lord, you are my God, I exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago, with perfect faithfulness. Planning is good and it's necessary. And we might add that so is profit and making money. There is nothing wrong with these things in and of themselves. But listen again to James chapter 4 verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and make a profit and trade and make a profit. Here is a person, a Christian, who talks about their plans. This person is talking about what they are going to do in the future. The talk is quite detailed and specific. It covers when, today or tomorrow. Where, such and such a town. How long, a year. What, trade. And the outcome, profit. Wow, this person has it all figured out and mapped out. And did you detect the confidence and the assurance with which this person is revealing their plans? It's like it's all going to happen. You watch the space. It's a done deal. Don't you admire people like that? The world does. This is what makes many a successful businessman and wealthy merchant tick. They know what they want. They get what they want. Most of the time, they're the architects of their own destinies, the masters of their own fate. Or so it would seem. And yet, there's some nagging feeling that it isn't quite right when people think and talk with such confidence about their future success. There's something amiss when someone displays a spirit of self-reliance to realizing their own dreams and plans. Kids, it's not good to be overconfident or presumptuous about our future, is it? Now, presumptuous is a big word, and do you know what that means? To be presumptuous is to presume or take for granted that something will happen even though it hasn't actually happened. We should be careful of doing that, lest we end up with proverbial egg in the face. Talking about eggs, we have 12 eggs here. A dozen of extra large, free-range chicken eggs. What would you think if I told you that we don't just have a dozen healthy eggs, but a dozen chickens in the making? After all, that's where chickens come from. Chicken eggs, right? So you can count on it, before long, we will have 12 lively, cute chickens cruising around. There's just one problem, though. These eggs haven't been fertilized. So instead of getting 12 spring chickens, we'll be getting none. Not a single chicken. That's a bit disappointing. But let's suppose all the eggs have indeed been fertilized. How many chickens will we get? Let's have a look. There they are, 12 of them. 12 beauties. So there I have one of these chickens. How many will we... So how many chickens do we have left now? 11 chickens. Are you sure we're going to have 11 chickens? There are many things that can go wrong with these eggs, you know, and prevent these eggs from hatching. The temperature and the humidity might be too high or too low. The eggs could be improperly handled, as you've just noticed, or they might not be turned around often enough. Or a fox, a snake, or a teenager that is hungry might come and eat these eggs. And who knows? One of these eggs might be struck by lightning. We might well end up with no chicks at all. Kids, there is a saying, do not count your chickens before they've hatched. Can you see that it's presumptuous to be overconfident with how things will turn out? And this brings us to a reality check there in James chapter 4, verse 14. Have a look at it. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Now we can make our plans and scheme our successes, but the fact of the matter is, we do not know what tomorrow will bring. We do not even know what the rest of today will bring. In Proverbs 27, verse 1, we read, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. A fallout with a friend, a traffic jam, a car crash, a lockdown, a heart attack, a bushfire, stock market collapse, the rapture, the return of Jesus. Any of these things can happen at any time. Dear friends, we need to acknowledge that we are quite uninformed, ignorant, really, about what awaits us in the future. We do not know what is around the corner. Now, the uncertainty about what lies ahead is a strong biblical theme. In Ecclesiastes 10, verse 14, we read, no man knows what will happen, and who can tell him what will come after him? The patriarch Abraham, you will remember, when God called him, and he answered God's call and obeyed, he went around not knowing where he was going. The Apostle Paul, when he went on his way to Jerusalem, he did not know what will await him there. Now we can anticipate things and we can learn to be prudent, but the only thing we can be sure of is the past, the present, and what God has been pleased to reveal to us in Scripture. Now, some people are fixated about prying into the future. And some would walk and say, would claim that I walk in the prophetic and that God is constantly giving them dreams about what's coming up. James says in no uncertain terms, and he says it to Christians, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. God and Him alone knows and controls the future. It is not our duty to figure out what exactly will happen in our future. It is our duty to trust God in the present and walk humbly with Him who holds the future. There's a beautiful hymn that goes like this. I'm going to read the whole hymn because it's so good. I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see, yet one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me. I know who holds the future, and I know He holds my hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by Him is planned. So I face tomorrow with its problems large and small. I trust the God of miracles. Give Him my all. I know who holds the future, and I know He holds my hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by Him is planned. I do not know how many days of life are mine to spend, but one who knows and cares for me will keep me to the end. I know who holds the future, and I know He holds my hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by Him is planned. I do not know the course ahead, what joys and griefs are there, but one is near who fully knows. I'll trust His loving care. I know who holds the future, and I know He holds my hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by Him is planned. The statement that we don't know what tomorrow will bring is a sobering one, isn't it? As is the question, what is your life? Actually, it's quite confronting. Of what class or kind is your life? What do you think you're made of? Do you think you're tough, durable, unbreakable, immortal, eternal? What's the answer? James gives us the answer in James chapter 4, verse 14. For we are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Dear friends, we are like a puff of smoke, a breath of vapor. We are here only for a little while and then we'll be gone. We do not last long. The Bible speaks repeatedly about the brevity and the fragility of life. We saw it in James chapter 1 verse 10, and we see it in several other scriptures. For example, Psalm 144 verse 4. Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. 1 Peter 1 verse 24-25. All flesh is like grass, and its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. When we know that by and large we are in the dark about the future, and we know that we will not last long, does it not humble us and make us hold on to our own plans, less lightly. Of course he does. Rather than being sold and fixated on our own plans, James in James chapter 4 verse 15 teaches us to place our focus and our confidence elsewhere. Listen to James 4 verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Since the future is uncertain and our lives are fragile, we are to say, if the Lord wills. What does it mean? It means that we recognize and accept that our plans and our lives are all dependent and contingent on the will of God. And God does not always reveal that will to us. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. God's will reigns supreme, and so it should. For we are not God, He is. Listen to Isaiah 46 verse 9 and 10. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. He will do it for you in your life and in my life. We might not always agree with that. All things work out according to the counsel of His will. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11. The theological terms or words for this are the sovereignty of God and the providence of God. What do these two things mean? The sovereignty of God refers to His right and His power to do what He decides. No one can stop God from doing what He decides to do. No one. God's providence refers to everything that happens to bring God's purposes to pass. May I ask you, do you accept God's sovereignty and providence in your life? Our Lord Jesus did. He has always submitted to His Father's will. And even when He went to the cross, He prayed, yet not what I will, but Your will be done. Is that not what we confess and when we pray, whenever we take the Lord's Prayer on our lips? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Christians live by the motto, if God wills, or God willing. Do you know what the Latin phrase for that is? Deo volente. And Deo volente is abbreviated by the two letters DV, and sometimes you'll see it in writing. All our dreams and all our plans are to be prefaced in our hearts by DV, God willing. Why don't people embrace the will of God for their lives? Why do we make plans without seeking the will of God for our plans? James chapter 4 verse 16 gives us the answer. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. The root problem is arrogance. Arrogance is a self-willed, self-focused, self-confident, self-reliant attitude. And it's evil. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, we read that arrogance or the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world, and the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides or lives forever. Arrogance Whatever it produces is always short-lived. Why? Because it's diametrically opposed to the will of God. And it's only God's will that will prevail. And as you know by now, James has a fair bit to say against pride and for humility. In James chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, he says, "But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his humble position, and the rich man to glory in his humiliation. Because like flowering grass, he will soon pass away." James chapter 4, verse 6, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." James chapter 4, verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the presence of God, and he will lift you up." Last week we saw in James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, when we slander one another, we are doing so against the law of God. And we are putting ourselves in the seat that belongs to the one true Lord, giver, and judge. This is the epitome of arrogance. Today we see that arrogance raises its nasty head when it pushes God aside and makes plans without consulting him and submitting to his infallible will. James chapter 4, verse 17 closes with the following statement. It is a statement that is true for all people of all time. In other words, it's an absolute statement. Listen to it. "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." When we know what is good and right in God's sight and we do not do it, it is sin. Sin in James is when we act against the law and will of God. Now, often when we think of sin, we think of the things that we shouldn't have done. We think of we shouldn't have shown partiality. We shouldn't have slandered. We shouldn't have lied and so on. This is serious. We call these sins of commission. But sins of omission, the things we ought to have done, is equally serious. On Judgment Day, Jesus is going to separate the sheep from the goats. And what is he going to say to the goats? He's going to address them about their sins of omission. And they will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" These are all sins of omission. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verse 47. "And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready to act in accord with his will receive many lashes." Let me ask you, in the context of James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, what is the sin of omission that Christians should not be guilty of? Making plans without God. Young people, you have many decisions in life to make. Who are your friends? What are the sport activities you're going to do? Which units or subjects you're going to take at school? A career? One day choosing a life partner, a husband or a wife? When you make these plans, when you make these big decisions, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, "Lord, what is your will for me?" And when you have made those plans, you're going to say, "God willing. If the Lord wills, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." In closing, let's go back to the question we started with at the beginning. Are you walking humbly with your God? Are you faithful and loyal to Him in the present? And are you trusting Him with your future? We've learned something about what that means today, haven't we? We should be wise and diligent in planning, absolutely. But when we plan, we shouldn't be overly confident and fixated on our plans. Why? Because life is uncertain and it's fragile. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, and we don't even know whether we will be there tomorrow. Thirdly, that's why we should submit ourselves completely to the sovereignty of God, who works everything out providentially according to His plans and purposes. And fourthly, it's arrogant and evil to insist on our own wills and our own wants for the future. It's sinful to exclude God from our plans. So, are you walking humbly with your God? Perhaps if you're honest with yourself today, you haven't done a great job with this. Perhaps you've been too self-focused, self-willed, self-confident, self-reliant when you plan and dream. And it's not working out for you, is it? Let me tell you about someone for whom things did not go according to plan. Who's he? Peter. Peter dreamed of being the champion among the disciples, the hero among Jesus' followers. He was quite sure that when all of them would crack under the pressure and chicken out on Jesus, he wouldn't. So when the opportunity came for him to deliver the goods, he made a complete mess of it. He failed miserably and he denied Jesus 3 times. You know the story. Anyway, after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus appeared to Peter. And Jesus restored him in the most gracious and wonderful way. But then listen to what Jesus says to Peter in John chapter 21, verse 18 to 19. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish. Now this Jesus said, signifying the death by which Peter would glorify him. And then Jesus said to him this, Peter, follow me. Dear friend, Jesus knows everything about you. He knows what will happen to you, how long you will live, and he knows the details of your death. Your future is as clear to him as your present, and both are crystal clear to him. You are not the master of your own destiny. Jesus is. Will you follow him and walk humbly with him? Will you surrender your will to him and submit your plans to him? And will you trust him with what is coming, knowing that he's always by your side? It does not matter what you go through, he will never leave you nor forsake you. So let us walk humbly with our Lord, dear brothers and sisters, and our futures, listen to this, will be bright. Our lives will be for our own good and for God's glory. Please pray with me. Our Father, this morning we have to just acknowledge that we've been exceedingly boastful and prideful. And so often we conduct our lives as if we are the captains of our own souls. And it's a journey of destruction. But Father, this morning we want to humble ourselves before you and say, Lord, please take over. Please shape our plans and please help us to accept your providence. Please humble us to see that you are good And Father, it's far better to follow Jesus than to follow our own noses. Father, we pray, make us your humble people who walk humbly with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.